You're listening to your favorite podcast, Strictly Grizzness. On this episode, we cover the last two games. We introduce a new little segment for you, and we give you a couple more fun facts and then wrap up the season. All that and more on Strictly Grizzness, but first a message from one of our sponsors.
Oh, hey, didn't see you there. It's Bruce from Bruce's Barn Doors and Barbecue. When I wake up in the morning and kick open my barn doors and eat my barbecue, there's only two things allowed on my radio: Celine Dion and the smooth, silky tones of Strictly Grizzness.
Available on Spotify, iTunes, and all major podcast providers.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
3-9, no choice. Conley for three.
Welcome back to another episode of Strictly Grizzness. My name is Mo, here with Henry, Austin, and Kyle, as always. Let's go into it. Let's talk about these last two games. We had the Pistons.
Yeah, we were doing really well until that fourth quarter came around yet again. And then Ish Smith came and decided to have the game of his life.
Yeah, well, we got outscored by 22 in the fourth quarter, not to mention we only scored 14 points.
Yeah, I think Ish Smith had like 14 or 15 in the fourth quarter alone.
Yeah, he murders. I don't understand it. Asshole.
But we had a tie for lead scorer, though, between Bruno and I believe it was DeLon. DeLon, right?
Yeah, everybody on the team got involved in the scoring in that game. There weren't like a lot of really high numbers from individuals. It was more just a collective effort.
Yeah. It was like
an average. They collectively went cold in the fourth quarter, too. They did everything as a team that day.
Yep, Tyler Zeller form tackling Bruno on an alley-oop attempt.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it all went to hell from there.
It reminded me of Jackie Moon tackling his center in semi-pro because he didn't want to give out free corn dogs.
Don't even got corn dogs.
We ended up losing that game, though, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that, but yeah. 93-100.
Yeah. That's what happens. You get outscored by 22 in the fourth.
That was just bad.
Well, at least, you know, we were able to steal that game away from the Warriors B squad. They had KD and Klay Thompson play in the first half, but I mean, they didn't even come back and sit on the bench for the second half. They were gone. They're drinking a beer in the locker room.
That was a hell of a game. Do you have all those ridiculous stats that the Grizzlies broke in that one game?
It was like 86 points in one half.
Yeah, it's the most points ever in a half, 86.
All right, so this is just that last game alone. We had a new franchise record for 3 points made in a game, which was 21. Franchise record for points in a half, which was 86. Franchise record for 3 points made in a quarter, which was 8. Franchise record for three-pointers made in a half, which was 14. Most points scored by a bench rookie, which is Carter with 32, and then most three-pointers made by a rookie, which is Carter again with 8. All in one game.
Lord. That's incredible. Especially with Javon Carter after how awful he had been, and then coming into that game, and then it was like, all right, time to ball.
I wouldn't say he was awful. I think it was just we expected a lot more from him.
He was shooting like 25% field goal.
Okay, that's pretty awful, but
it's awful. Oh, no, it's been really bad. He had, what, the worst shooting percentage for a player that's played as many minutes in the NBA?
Yeah, it was bad.
It was really bad. But I'll tell you what, he ended the season on about as high a note as he possibly could, which is good for him.
Then in the game, Jaren came and dumped a little cup of water on him while he was giving a little interview with Rob Fisher. It was really funny. It was really funny. It was good to see him, you know. Like I said, after all of his struggles this season, finally have like a really, really good game.
Yeah, I agree.
Granted, it was against the C squad of the Warriors, so
yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay. I'll take it. And then came Thursday. Thursday was a hell of a day for the Grizzlies. Exit interviews, which we all thought, you know, we were going to go fine. Which at the time it kind of did.
Everything was going smooth. Everything was like all you heard was positive things from every single person, coaches and players, and Chris Wallace.
Oh, man, dude, from Chris Wallace, it sounded like we had a good season. We had much good things to look forward to.
He was borderline delusional out there.
He looked like he was lost.
Yeah, he looked like a kid who was in trouble. Like he got caught doing something he shouldn't.
I can't believe they sent him out there, and then the question was asked to him, will JB be back? The question couldn't even be finished, and he was so ready to answer it, saying, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we intend to have him back next year for the 2019 season.
I don't think he was sent out there. I think he was like on his way to the bathroom or something, and one of the guys in the media saw him, and they cornered him. Because he looked like, I mean, if you actually watched it, he looked like he...
Oh, he's coming
like,
back.
Like, he, in his head, he's like, I should not be here right now.
Maybe he just thought if I go out there and say it, it will become true. Like, well, you know what? I'm gonna put Para in an impossible, predicament here.
Speak it into to happen.
Hey, it's only a lie if you don't believe it.
Wallace has gone rogue. But no, he straight up said, he's like, we intend to have him back next season. And then
2 hours later,
you're fired.
He gone.
Yeah. I just don't understand why you parade him out there like that. Only to, I mean, it was like an execution almost.
Some sort of cruel joke.
Yeah. Cause I mean, well, he got demoted big time. He's now, you know, working with scouting. Like, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I wish he was nowhere near any potential players or even in the... I wish he couldn't enter the building, to be perfectly honest. I think he should have been fired, if only for cosmetic reasons. He should have been fired.
Okay, so this is what happened. JB is done. He got fired. Chris Wallace demoted to a scout. Hollinger demoted to a, like, advisory role, I think. It was something weird. He gets to go live in Atlanta and just basically get paid by the Grizzlies. And Mr. Zach Kleiman is now basically running the show.
Yeah.
But Jason Wexler just kind of like looking above, hovering around.
Yeah, Zach's going to be the one that gets all the credit if they go to the playoffs.
Yep.
You mean when we go to the playoffs?
That's what I like to hear.
I apologize.
But as of now, we don't have a coach. Who do y'all think? Y'all have any guys in mind that y'all would want? Or
I'm going to throw Tom Thibodeau's name in there. Yeah. I think he would be really fun to watch.
I like Tom Thibodeau. Old Tommy, he barely has a voice after every game. He's just freaking defensive guru. He's the man.
I'll say Jaeger, Coach Jaeger.
You want him back?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
He did get fired on the same day.
We're going to have Penny bump up to the NBA.
Oh, God, no.
No, don't do that to the Tigers. No.
He needs to stay.
That was pretty funny, though, because a current Grizzlies coach and a former Grizzlies coach both got fired in the same day.
Yeah.
Coach Jaeger and Coach Bickerstaff.
Black boy JB Bickerstaff.
Well, yeah, what do you guys feel? Like, how do you feel about the Jason Wexler and who was it?
Zach Kleiman.
Yeah, how do you guys feel about?
I mean, they both seem pretty smart. They're both former lawyers. Jason's done a lot with the city, though. He serves on the board of the directors for Indy Memphis, the Overton Park Conservancy, the Memphis chapter of the Urban Land Institute, Neighborhood Preservation, and the Fogelman College of Business and Economics at the University of Memphis.
He's very involved.
Yeah. Seems like he was a lawyer, then went into real estate and I guess commercial real estate and things like that. He's also in like part of the like neighborhood upkeep and things like that and like changing Memphis for the better structurally.
That's Jason Wexler?
Yep.
Gentrify.
You can put whatever name you want on it. Soda Sopa.
Yeah. Man, I just
shitty pot out.
I'm sure he's really good person. He's been doing good things for us. I'm just ready. I'm ready to see, to have that next step taken in the franchise and for us to actually have someone that we know. Hopefully the Kleiman guy can be the guy that we know we can go to get the answers that we need to the questions that we have of what the franchise does. I mean, Chris Wallace never gave us an answer. I mean, hell, his last answer he gave was completely wrong.
I tell you what their biggest test is going to be, their biggest first test, I guess you could say. Does that make sense? Anyways,
yeah.
Their first big test, there we go, is going to be the Conley situation this summer. It makes all sense to, you know, in order for him to get a ring, it'd make more sense for him to get traded to a team that's actually going to be able to contend next year. But, you know, if they screw that up, if we end up getting like close to nothing for what he's worth.
Well, I think the way he performed down the stretch, I think he increases draft stock.
Yeah, I don't think that's
100%.
Trade stock.
He's played so damn well.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if they screw that, I mean, there's no way you could screw it. I mean, there are ways you can screw it up, but
right now,
if they do that, they're going to lose all faith. Like, people are going to be like,
well, didn't Trae Young have something to say about Mike Conley?
Yeah, he said something. He was talking about his rookie season playing against all these good point guards that you hear about. like Damian Lillard, and you know, he was talking about these players, and he said, but you really don't realize how good Mike Conley is until you play him. I mean, he said a couple other names, but he mentioned Mike Conley first, and that's all that matters.
It's probably like Trae Young probably like fell down. Mike Conley's like, hey, get out here, man. I'll help you up. He's such a nice guy.
All why, the other why don't you come over for dinner tonight? My wife's making papaya.
It'll be delicious. Papaya.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any way they can bungle the Conley thing. He, you know, if he hadn't played as well, or he had been hurt, you know, actually really injured, not just, you know, resting his ankle kind of thing, then maybe I could see more wiggle room there to either boom or bust on that deal. But I think now everyone knows what they're getting. They're getting a good, you know, healthy, top tier point guard that can also play defense and can be a team leader, especially in you know, playoff situations. He's been there. He's done that. So I'm excited to see Mike go somewhere and go to a contender and have a chance to get a ring. I love Mike Conley. He's been awesome for the city. And, you know, I think everybody just, you know, wishing the best.
I love you, Mike. Don't forget us, Mike.
All right, now, if Mike Conley stays, though, what do you think that means for our team?
I think that's a disaster if he stays. Because
really?
He wants to go somewhere and win a ring. He doesn't want to. Like, I'm not saying he would, you know, shit on the city if he stayed here, but he doesn't. His goal is to go win now. He's given his entire career to Memphis. It's time for us to give something back to him and ship him off somewhere that he can win.
Yeah. He's probably just going to do the whole, what is it, Tony Allen? You know, he got traded, but his whole family stayed here. Zebo, same thing.
Yeah.
Stayed here.
Yeah, I really don't know. You know, I don't know where his family situation lies with that. I mean, you know, he's got a young, growing family, so they might, you know, very well move. It just depends on where he goes and what he's doing. I mean, honestly, I think all that's really up in the air. But, I mean, I think they definitely have a love and appreciation for Memphis, and I don't think that's going anywhere, regardless of their geographical location.
I agree. Totally agree.
I mean, it was his first team, so.
Yeah.
His only team.
If he leaves, he's not going to be forgetting the Memphis at all.
No.
No.
I mean, it's not going to be the last we ever see.
No, I mean, they'll retire his jersey. Yeah,
I'm not saying that.
I don't think there's any reason they wouldn't retire his jersey.
Yeah, I mean,
if they do retire his jersey, how much flack do you think other people are going to give? Like, last time we retired a jersey, it's
who
like
cares?
He left. It's not like he retired there.
But
it's like, oh, my God, get out of
here. No one's going to care. He spent his entire career for the most part here.
Like, I mean,
but I'm pretty sure we're not the only team that does that. There are teams that...
Well, usually people retire with that team, then they retire their jersey.
Yeah, but I mean...
But, like, people were talking shit when we retired Gasol's jersey. And it's like, well, that shows how much you don't know about Memphis and our basketball.
They were talking shit when we retired Zebo's.
Yeah, like, everybody that plays for the Grizzlies gets their jersey retired. It's like, no, you should see what they actually
do
for the
city. It's those people that were part of that kind of core four era, and they did a lot of other things for the city outside of just playing basketball as well.
Exactly.
But
that was actually at that time when we had the core four, we were at our lowest crime rate when we were making the playoffs.
Yeah, there was an actual statistic that when the Grizzlies were playing well, the crime rate went down.
Yeah, people happy.
People are happy. Yeah,
people are intrigued. They're watching basketball. They got something to do instead of robbing people.
So then came Friday, which for us is kind of the lottery within the lottery, seeing as the Grizzlies finished in a three-way tie, you know, for seventh right there. Ended up being Friday afternoon. Henry, didn't you check on that?
Yeah, we were tied for 7, 8, 9, and it was a ping-pong ball lottery before basically the lottery. And the Grizz got eighth in the lottery.
Yeah, it was Pelicans 7, Grizz 8, and then the Mavericks 9, which are their picks going to Atlanta, so essentially Atlanta.
So wait, don't we not – everything you talked about in this last couple of weeks, isn't 8 where we don't want to be?
I mean, there's some discussion on that. Look, if you finish 9th, only good things were going to happen because either you jump in the top 4 or you convey that pick. Now it's a little bit squirrelier, but some of the numbers look better depending on what – angle you're looking at the glass. If you're seeing it half full or half empty, it really depends. Henry's got some of those numbers pulled up, though.
It's a mixed bag on the percentage chances. We got, with our number 8 spot going in the draft, we have to the lottery, we have 26.2% chance of a top 4 pick, 42.6% chance of sending the pick to Boston, so getting the 9th pick, and a 31.2% chance of picking 8th. So there's our odds right there.
But there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance for several different scenarios to unfold. And, this all goes back when we were talking with Jeff Calkins this past week. You know, he pointed out that Mavericks game Sunday night is one you're really going to look at that we let get away that could have eliminated even being in this predicament. We could have been ninth if we'd won that game. If we hadn't lost a 22-point lead to the Pistons in Detroit Tuesday night, could have been at nine. I mean, you know, it's painful.
Pick any number of those games that we had double-digit leads going into the second half.
Sure. I'm just talking about the last few games down the stretch. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are a number of games.
And think of Mike Conley.
Even after the trade deadline, there are a number of games you see – you know, and also, Conley was sitting the whole time. Obviously you don't want him to get hurt from a, long game perspective there, looking to deal him over the summer, but,
Played like one game, maybe two.
I know.
Especially the last game, just put him out, just march him out for like I
would have liked to have seen him out there just as a final home court thing. Because, he's most likely not going to play another game with the Grizzlies.
Yeah. It would have been nice to have a grand, celebration around Conley for his last home game, if that was to be the last home game. So hopefully we get ninth, or we get Zion.
If we jump up in the top four, depending on where we land, you get a pretty damn good pick, and that would kind of salvage some of the mistakes we made this year. But I don't know. We'll see how that falls out. The NBA draft is May 14th, I believe. The lottery, not the draft, excuse me. That's what I meant, the lottery.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, we'll see where we fall. We'll talk about it then.
How do you guys keep getting in here?
Sheila, what'd I tell you about locking that back door? No, not the barn door, the back door.
Well, since I got you here, Bruce's Barn Doors and Barbecue didn't exactly pan out as well as I'd hoped. So I've reincorporated under a new name, Bruce's Back Doors and Briskets. When I'm coming in your back door with my beef briskets, I like to set the mood with a little bit of Strictly Grizzness.
Available on Spotify, iTunes, and all major podcast providers.
Now, if we did end up getting that number one pick, then we can go back to that conversation we were having about whether to trade or keep Mike Conley for next year.
Yeah, if we got Zion, literally, you would go from one of the smallest lineups in Grizzlies history, since they've been in Memphis at least, to one of the largest. You'd have him, Jaren Jackson, and most likely Jonas. Yeah. And then, if you got Zion, Jaren, Jonas, and that's a better lineup to stick with Mike Conley. Yeah. It really is. And then you got, DeLon Wright there that can run back up and eat a lot of those minutes for Mike.
Then you can really think about re-signing Joakim too.
Let me ask you, do you know what our percentage is of getting the number one pick?
Number one pick. I didn't
know. You said top four. But
top four.
It's very low. I'll put it that way. It's.
According to Tankathon, we have a 6% chance of getting the number one pick.
I'd say more like one out of a million.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! Wouldn't count on it.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Mo with his optimism.
Hey, you never know. One thing
we have a better chance of getting him than Golden State.
What? Yeah. Golden State has zero chance.
That's something. That's something.
Not for good reason though.
Yeah, that's like saying you got a better chance of getting herpes than a priest.
Hey, you said it. You said half glass full, half glass empty. I'm looking at a half glass full.
It's only 6% full. That's less than half empty. Well,
that's like enough to piss
get off the stage. That was a weak joke.
Our highest percent chance is to give away that pick to nine. So, that's not. Other than that, it's
which
not
is
bad.
What we want to do. Yeah. Ultimately, we want to get rid of that pick. I don't want that Jeff Green trade hanging over us any longer. I want a clean break from that. Just move on.
Yeah. 100%. And if we end up getting Zion or a top four pick, so be it.
I think worst case scenario is we get the number four pick. I think that would be awful because of the drop off. If you're not going to get Zion, RJ Barrett, or John Morant,
I don't want number four.
Yeah, I don't want stupid ass Cam Reddish.
Jaren Jackson. Yeah, but there's not a Jaren Jackson as of now that we know of. There's not a Jaren Jackson in this draft.
No, it is very. We're talking about dropping off the Great Barrier Reef after the third pick. It's
some would say. Some would say after the first pick too. Some people don't even have that much faith in Ja or RJ, which, I like both of them.
I like RJ Barrett a lot. Morant,
especially if we end up getting Conley, dude.
I think he's rid of a higher him, risk than RJ
Getting rid
Barrett
of Conley,
is for sure.
Have John Moran as our backup, like our new point guard of the future, dude. That'd be badass.
That'd be insane. Hopefully, Dylan Brooks can stay healthy this time, man.
God, I forgot about Dylan Brooks,
dude. Yeah. I really want him to
forget.
Be good.
He's never on the court.
And Kyle Anderson.
I mean, the year when
Kyle Anderson's having shoulder surgery.
Well, But no, like the year that Mike Conley was out and Dylan Brooks kind of filled in for him, dude, he was killing it.
Last year?
I mean,
was it last year?
It was last year. Yeah.
Because he was a rookie last year.
It feels like it was so long ago. I guess
because you don't see him. It's like he got injured at the end of his rookie year, and then like this year he was injured really quickly. And like,
well, don't forget, he was injured coming in to the NBA. I mean, he got hurt at Oregon.
Should we have done that trade? I don't know. I don't want to put him down yet. But
yeah, we'll just let's wait and see.
All right, let's move on to something that's more on a lighter note. So, fun facts for this week. First one, Conley donated $500,000 to the Sickle Cell Center in Memphis, and they renamed it to the Mike and Mary Conley Comprehensive Sickle Cell Clinic. Say that 10 times fast. But still, that's
pretty
awesome.
Cool. Half a
million
dollars.
That's really nice of him.
$500,000, dude. That's
very charitable of him.
See, like, that's one of the things that a lot of like outside people don't understand about Memphis basketball and like what it actually is besides just a basketball team. And like
basketball
in general in Memphis.
Well, since Mike Conley did it, it kind of got us feeling in a charitable mood. So we came up with a new little segment that's going to follow the playoffs. It's going to give us something to talk about.
Yeah, since we obviously didn't get anywhere close.
Okay, so we have two hats. And in each hat, there are 8 pieces of paper. There's a Western Conference hat and an Eastern Conference hat. Each of us have taken turns picking out 2 pieces of paper out of each hat. So we have 4 pieces of paper. There's 2 Western teams and 2 Eastern teams. We haven't looked at any of these teams yet, so now we're about to open each one of our papers. And so the teams that we get on these papers are going to be our teams throughout the playoffs and the finals. And whoever has the paper with the team that won the finals or wins the finals is going to get $100 to donate to a charity of their choice.
Boom.
So we'll go ahead. First, we'll go ahead and we'll just go ahead and announce the charities that we kind of plan on doing it. So I'll go first. I off the bat, St. Jude. That's where my 100's going.
Henry, who are you taking?
My 100's going to go to the Salvation Army.
Okay.
Nice.
My 100 would go to Le Bonheur Children's Hospital.
Cool.
I'm doing Autism Speaks.
Very appropriate.
Okay.
For
we got some good ones here.
Okay. So we got, okay, cool. So now let's go ahead and open up our PayPal.
All right.
Give me Golden State.
Who's going first?
Are we going, are we going to go?
Yeah, we'll just go round robin. Yeah, just go ahead. All right,
we're going to go Western Conference first.
Okay. All together, or are we going to go?
Let's go one at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kyle, you go ahead and open your first Western Conference.
I hope this is Western Conference.
East?
If it's Eastern, we're going to start East.
OKC.
OKC. Nice. Ooh. Okay.
Golden State's still out there. Golden State is still out there.
Yeah.
My first Western team.
It's done.
Yeah. Well, St. Jude's getting the money, I guess. Sorry, Le Bonheur.
Golden State Warriors, baby.
All right. And there goes the game.
All right. Well,
dude, with my luck, dude, they're going to have
save that one for like last or something.
We didn't know.
It was just random.
I know. I'm just joking.
All right, Henry, who you got?
Houston Rockets.
All right. Pretty spread out so far.
Denver Nuggets.
There you go, Denver.
Come on, Joker.
All right, Kyle, what's your second team?
Spurs.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
All right. I kind of like my picks.
The Los Angeles Clippers is my second team. The Clippers. That kind of sucks.
All right.
My second team is the Portland Trail Blazers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Look at me over here.
And Rockets. That leaves me with the Utah Jizz.
I got California over here.
Yeah, you got the two Cali teams.
Okay, let's go on to the Eastern side now. I already opened mine. Sorry, I was excited. I got Boston Celtics.
Ooh. I feel like I'm going to get screwed. Here we go. Oh, I got the Bucks.
Ooh. Number one.
What's up?
Pretty good. Go ahead,
I got the Detroit Pistons, and someone wrote, ha, 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 on the paper.
Thanks for that. So Austin's got strong the Pistons. Pick. Mo, who'd you get him?
I got Boston Celtics.
That's right. Henry, what you got?
Oh, man, I got the Magic. Going to make some magic with the Magic.
I got the Bucks. All right, here we go.
Second one.
The Nets.
Kyle gets the Nets. All right. You ready for this one? St. Jude's getting the money. I got the Toronto Raptors.
No, they lost their first home game.
I guess Orlando. To the Magic. Whatever. I still got Golden State.
I don't know, man. Autism Speaks is pretty.
Well,
that's a pretty solid.
I got the Pacers as my second Eastern Conference team.
Did you get a ha ha on there as well?
No. No, only for Detroit.
Detroit got the ha-ha. All right. Well, I got the last team, the Philadelphia 76ers. So I don't think it's a bad one.
All right. So let's reiterate. Mo, name your teams.
In the Western Conference, I have Golden State and Los Angeles Clippers. And in the Eastern Conference, I have Toronto Raptors and Boston Celtics.
All right, that's Team St. Jude. Henry, what do you got?
Out of the Western Conference, I have Houston Rockets and the Portland Trail Blazers. And out of the Eastern Conference, I have the Orlando Magic and your Indiana Pacers.
Team Salvation Army. Austin?
Yep, for Team LeBonner. Yep, Team LeBonner, I've got the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets. And then in the East, I've got the Detroit Pistons and the Philadelphia 76ers.
All right, Team Autism Speaks. It's the Thunder, the Spurs, the Bucks, and the Nets.
Let's go Nets.
Yeah.
I'm happy with my picks, man.
Of course you are.
Yeah, I'm so happy.
You're thrilled.
You could get one of those. You could just get. You could just have Golden State, and you could get the Pistons and everybody else, and you'd still be fine.
It's gonna be.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be Golden State.
Yeah, exactly. We already know who's gonna win.
I still got the Bucks.
I'm rooting for Toronto just because of Marc Gasol. Is that weird? Yeah. I'm rooting for Mark to get a ring.
Why would it be weird
to root for Toronto?
Yeah, why would it be weird?
I think a lot of Memphis people are rooting for Mark and Toronto.
Okay. Don't be all sour about it. Like, grow up.
Yeah, I think it would be cool.
I'm not talking to you, man. I'm talking to the collective.
Well, you sound like you were talking to me. We're in the
Come
same
on,
room.
Man.
Telling you the same thing, man. You were questioning your fandom.
I'm talking
fandom.
To the collective.
I'm just asking.
They control the means of production.
No question is a stupid question.
Well, that is not true.
Yeah, it's not true.
I hate that saying. All right, so let's move back to the
want
to
go back fun to fun facts?
Yeah.
Fun facts.
So, Henry, what do you got?
My fun fact for the week is Greg Popovich is now number one NBA winningest coach of all time with win number 1,413. Way to go, Pop. Even though you kicked the Grizzlies' ass.
Yeah, y'all kind of saw that coming.
I like Popovich, though.
He's a good coach.
That's awesome. You said 1,413?
Yeah.
1,413. Nice.
1,413.
That's pretty cool. All right, well, I got a good fun fact for you.
You got a myriad of facts.
I got, all right, so this, I'll just kind of like, summarize it. But this year in the NBA has been a really historic year in the sense, and I'm just going to kind of just name off some things. I mean, it goes on forever. We'll be here all day if I try to say everything that happened. But just to lead with, you know, Russell Westbrook became the first player in history to lead the NBA in scoring and assists in multiple seasons. James Harden passes Kobe Bryant in the most 30-point games in a season with 57. Jamal Crawford became the oldest player in history to score over 50 points in a game at the age of 39.
Now, but with separate teams with that as well.
That's right. He's had a 50-point game with four different franchises. He did it with the Bulls in 2004, the Knicks in 2007, the Warriors in 2008, and then the Suns this past week in 2019.
I think he's a vampire, dude. He hasn't aged a day.
Oh, yeah. Then also, just in the NBA in general, this was a record for the amount of three-pointers made with 27,955 three-pointers made combined. That's what everybody. Also, 13 players scored 50 points or more in a game this season, and that's a new NBA record.
Yeah, with the whole three-pointers thing, I think that's just how the game's like gravitating now.
Well, it's yeah, like that's going to be changing. A record that, yeah. that's going to be broken keep, yeah, every probably year. Again and again.
No defense. That's what those stats say to me.
Exactly. Especially when the Grizzlies put like 86 up and break that record. It's like, what happened to defense? Oh, no, it's all right. It's how many threes you can make.
Yep. Well, you can't play defense anymore.
They pass, play, pace of play.
You'll be out of the game by halftime.
Exactly.
Oh, and then to add on to that, James Harden also became the first player in NBA history to average 36 points. Or it was 35 points and 7 assists at the end of the season. He actually had 36 points and 7.5 assists. This season. What was his average?
Harden's just freaking stat hunting.
I got a fun fact for you. So, reigning Dallas mascot, Dirk Nowitzki, finished his career with a 30-point game.
Wait, did you say Dallas mascot?
Yeah, because he's a mascot. he's not a real player anymore.
Yeah, as did Wade. Same thing, 30, 30-point game.
He might as well go out there and put on the horse suit for his final game.
God, it might hurt him to do that even more.
Yeah, I know. I mean, seriously, he's going to need a walker in the next 10 years.
He actually teared up during his little video that they had, you know, his little tribute video they did before the game.
He's been playing like 20 years, man.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. That's got to be tough to hang it up.
Well, guys, that wraps the season up for us. Y'all got any last thoughts on this roller coaster of a ride of a season?
Started off so well.
Number one in the Western Conference for like a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knew the tires were going to blow off eventually, but I mean, there's nothing much more to say. I mean, you can't say this season didn't have its ups and downs. I mean, there were definitely some exciting games to watch down the stretch. At least we had something to play for as far as trying to convey that pick to Boston. So that was interesting. You know, you had some players that were hitting career highs in different games. The fans, the crowds were into it. So it was fun to watch going down the stretch for sure. But you know what? On to bigger and brighter things. Hopefully we can continue to improve and, you know, with some front house management, let's see if we can get this thing turned around.
Yeah, hopefully we can fix from the inside out this time.
Yeah, well, at least Chris Wallace isn't calling any shots. Whether or not he has been recently, we don't know. But
yeah.
You know who we need to fire is our trainers. I feel like we're getting injured, like, that's what I think, is injuries kind of screwed us over, man. Like, not kind of. They did. Injuries screwed us over this
year. That's the history of the Grizzlies, period. Well, it's every single year, even back in the Core Four era, it was, oh, if we were healthy. I mean, that was like the tagline for every single season.
That's what I'm saying. But well, how are we so injury-prone? Yeah,
what's the common denominator there?
Players get injured.
Same trainer?
I doubt it. I guarantee you Memphis they've barbecue? Had to have had different doctors Beale Street. In there.
Yeah, I mean,
the pollen?
Memphis drivers.
Potholes.
Yeah, potholes. That's what's injuring our players.
Potholes.
So we need the city to work on that.
We need to fix some potholes.
We're getting way off topic now. But
what did we do? We were number one in the Western Conference for a minute. We
like literally a minute.
We banished a player to and then brought him back. Traded for a bunch of new people. Had 28 different players on the roster. I mean, dude, we've had a hell of a season. It's been crazy. Headlines,
yeah,
are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be interesting.
It's been something.
What they do,
and now we ended up not in the playoffs, and we don't even have a coach right now.
Mm-hmm. So. And we might not even have a pick in the lottery.
Yeah,
or a point guard.
No, I mean CJ Miles is a point guard, isn't he?
No, DeLon Wright.
There's no replacement. For Mike Conley.
Oh, friend. I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just we're gonna have to make something up. We're gonna have to work with something, you know?
Yeah, we do know that CJ Miles will be here though. He picked up that.
Yeah, he opted into his contract. Yeah. So
we got that going for us. We know we got CJ. CJ's in.
Woo! Hallelujah! Yeah.
Well, I think it's about that time. Sun's getting real low, big guy.
Yeah, and I just want to let everybody know before we go to go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Strictly Grizz, or you can follow us on Instagram, Strictly Grizzness. And that's I think that's all we're on right now.
We'll continue to update you on the 2019 Strictly Grizzness charity bracket.
Yep.
Or so the playoffs.
Just to recap,
run race quick. For the cure.
Sorry. Mo's Team Jude. I mean, what? Team St. Jude.
Hey, Jude.
Team St. Jude. That's Mo.
Kyle. Autism Speaks.
Austin's the botter.
Team Henry is Team Salvation Army.
Nice.
Pretty good picks.
All right. Anybody else got any comments?
Let's go Tiger.
Congratulations, Tigers. Tiger and Tigers.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough.
All right, we're gone. Bye.